Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Have any of you been wishing for an adventure? I know sometimes we wish for an adventure and we look forward to adventure, especially when we watch a movie or read a book that talks about adventures and it stirs something inside of us. How many of you have read the book The Hobbit? Anybody read the book The Hobbit? A couple of you have read that book. I know some of you have seen the movie as well, and The Hobbit has an adventure. There's a guy by the name of Bilbo Baggins, and Bilbo is in his little shire. His life is fairly comfortable, and he's got friends, he's got wonderful neighbors, he's got a nice house, he's got his routines. Life seems to be going pretty well and pretty smoothly. Then there's this guy named Gandalf that comes along, Gandalf the Wizard, and Gandalf the Wizard starts talking to Bilbo about an adventure. Bilbo is reluctant to go on this adventure at first, and finally Bilbo decides, okay, I'll join you on this adventure. And needless to say, his life was never the same. Along that journey, he experienced joys and sorrows, fantastic views, and incredibly dark times, all rolled together in one absolutely incredible adventure that left him completely different. He was never the same after that. I believe that we're inspired by stories of adventure. We hear these stories and often they can stir in us this desire for an adventure. And I want to tell you today that our journey with the Lord in this life can in fact be a grand adventure. Just talk to Abram and he'll tell you about the adventure with the Lord. That's our Old Testament reading for today. From Genesis chapter 12, we hear the call of Abram. It says in Genesis chapter 12, verse 1, "Now the Lord said to Abram, go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." Now, little timeline of biblical history. We have the creation. Last week, we heard the prophecy about the Savior coming, Genesis. And then we have the flood. And then we have the descendants of Noah. And one of the sons of Noah was Shem. And Shem, through the line of Shem, comes Abram. Abram's father is Terah, and Abram's father was living in the land of Ur. Now, I know we all know where Ur is, but Ur is in the Fertile Crescent, and Ur was a city devoted to the moon god Nanor. And so they were in Ur, in the Fertile Crescent, and then they moved to a place called Haran, about 600 miles northwest. And it was in Haran where they had settled. But then it was also in Haran where Abram received this call to a grand adventure. I wonder what was going through Abram's mind as he received this call. Because it says that they settled in the land of Haran. And when you settle somewhere, what happens? Well, you start putting down roots, right? How many of you have been here for 10 years or more? Oh, wow, yes, a lot of you. What happens in 10 years or less even? Maybe even in a year. You start putting down roots. You start establishing connections with friends, with neighbors, with coworkers, with your church family, and you put down roots. You get familiar with the surroundings and you begin to fall in love with this place. What happens then when you are uprooted from a place where you have known for a while? It can be a bit tumultuous. It can be a little bit scary sometimes because all of a sudden you're moving from a familiar place to somewhere with new people, with new sights, sounds, smells, cultures, especially when you move from California to Oregon or from the Midwest to Oregon. It's a different culture, isn't it? I think we've experienced that to some extent, what it's like to have to uproot sometimes and go to a different place. It can be scary. And it's one thing to know where you're going, but it's another thing not to know where God is taking you. I could just imagine somebody talking to Abraham saying, "Hey, Abraham, I hear you're moving. Where are you going?" "I don't know." "What do you mean you don't know?" "Well, God didn't give me the GPS coordinates for my new location. I don't know." The Lord said to Abram, "Go from your country and your kindred and your father's house to the land that I will show you." He didn't give him an exact location. And so here is Abram setting out on a new adventure, not even knowing exactly where he was going. He really didn't have much to go on except for the promises of God. And that's what we see in the next verse. Genesis chapter 12, verse 2, God speaks promises to Abraham, wonderful promises. Listen to these promises. God says to Abram, "And I will make you into a great nation, and I will bless you and make your name great so that you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and him who dishonors you I will curse, and in you all the families of the earth shall be blessed." What did Abram have to go off of? The promises of God. The God who called him on an adventure in which his life would never be the same. Abram starts out on his journey. We hear that in Genesis 12, 4 and 5. So Abram went as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Now listen to this. Abram was 75 years old when he departed from Haran. And Abram took Sarai, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their possessions and that they had gathered, and the people that they had acquired in Haran, and they set out to go to the land of Canaan. How old was Abram? 75 years old. Now, we know that he lived a while, but still, 75. I mean, it's one thing to get up and move and go when you're a young spring chicken and you're starting out in life, but after you're 75, you might want to just kind of chill out a little bit, take it easy. But at 75 years old, Abram is called out on this grand adventure, and in faith, he goes. He listens. He trusts the Lord. And he believes the promises, and he heads out. Now, I imagine at first, Abram was pretty excited about this adventure. I mean, when you hear about an adventure, it can be really exciting. Oh, cool. All the anticipation, the what ifs. But if you've been on even a week-long vacation, you start out pretty excited, but along the way, depending on what happens, you might not feel so excited anymore. You might be a little frustrated, a little angry that things are not turning out the way that you expected, and pretty soon your life is taking a direction that you had not ever anticipated, and it can be scary or discouraging. Well, if you look at the story of Abram and his life took some very interesting twists and turns, and along the way, it was not easy. Now think about some of the things that Abram went through. He traveled quite a bit. He went to various locations, and some of the things that his family was dealing with was Sarai and her barrenness. She couldn't have a child. And I wonder if times he was thinking back to the promise of God, going, "Okay, God, you gave me this promise that I'm going to be the father of a great nation, but my wife is barren. She can't have a child. So, Lord, how's this going to work?" Okay, finally, after Abram is how old? 100 years old. 100 years old, he has the child of the promise, which is Isaac. Yes, they did have Ishmael, as Abram took things into his own hands. But Isaac, the child of the promise, was born at 100 years old. And then what happens? If you know the story, then the Lord one day says, "Abraham, you know that child? You know your only son? The only son whom you love? Go sacrifice him on the mountain." What? Well, we know the story that Abraham steps out in faith. He goes, and God provides the ram for the sacrifice. They both come down, and through Isaac, the child of the promise, he is indeed blessed with a great nation. But he didn't always see these things right away. Now, nowadays, we are so used to getting things almost instantaneous. If you've got a decent cell phone, you want to find something out on the internet, you just plug it in and boom, you can figure it out real fast. We've got microwaves to cook our food in seconds. We've got fast cars that can take us to places like that. We're used to having things right away sometimes. And yet, sometimes we wait. God may give his promises to you and me as well. He does. But sometimes we wait. And that's what happened for Abram. He waited. And yet in faith, he continued going forth. Hebrews 11, verse 8 says this, "By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to a place that he was to receive as an inheritance. And he went out, not knowing where he was going. By faith, he went to live in the land of promise, as in a foreign land, living in tents with Isaac and Jacob, heirs with him of the same promise. Do you realize that even up to the day of Abraham's death, he really didn't own any land? The only piece of land that he owned was a burial plot for him and his wife. It wasn't until later on, after the children of Israel came out of Egypt hundreds of years later, that they settled in the promised land and they then possessed the land. You see, even some of the promises that were given to Abraham were not fulfilled until after Abraham's death. And yet Abraham stepped out in faith, trusting in the promises of God. And just a point here, we notice that in the reading, his name is Abram, which is means great father. Well, remember, his name was changed to Avraham, father of a great nation. This name that was given to him to delineate this promise that God was going to give to Abraham. So God was faithful in his promise to Abraham, guiding him along the journey. Despite the ups and downs, God was faithful. And as a result, Abraham truly was blessed. And also, you and I are blessed. You see, through Jesus, a descendant of Abraham, the promises are fulfilled for you and for me. Romans 4:16, our epistle lesson for today, says these words: "It depends on faith, in order that the promise may rest on grace and be guaranteed to all of his," that is, Abraham's offspring. "Not only to the adherent of the law," so to the Jews, "but also to the one who shares the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all, as it is written, 'I have made you the father of many nations.'" So as a result of the promises given to Abraham, you and I have been made part of that covenant, the new covenant in Christ's blood. But we then are children of Abraham by faith. And if you've done Vacation Bible School, you might remember the song, "Father Abraham had many sons, and many sons had Father Abraham. I am one of them, and so are you. So let's all praise the Lord." Well, that's because God was faithful in his promises. So how about you? Would you like to have an adventure? Are you on an adventure? Perhaps you are. Well, because God was faithful in his promises to Abraham, we can have an adventure with the Lord as we go through life. Sometimes we view life in a different way, as a series of unfortunate events, as just kind of making it through. And yes, life can be difficult, but with the Lord, life can be a grand adventure. Often when we think about salvation, we think about the forgiveness of sins, and absolutely, in salvation, we have the forgiveness of sins. But salvation is a wonderful, huge, encompassing term that means something that includes the forgiveness of sins, but also new life. Now, as we talk to the children in the children's message, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish but have eternal life," we have the gift of forgiveness, life, and salvation. You have been saved from sin, from death, and from the power of the devil. But you have also been saved for something. Jesus' salvation wasn't just a get-out-of-hell-free card, so we can just sit there and wait until Jesus comes again so we can have life. I think we can act like that sometimes. "Well, I guess I'll wait until Jesus comes, and then I'll have life." No. You have new life now. That conversation that Jesus had with Nicodemus, what was he talking about? He was talking about new life given in the Holy Spirit. It says in that passage that those that are born of water and the Spirit, there's new life there. You have new life. You have the Holy Spirit in you. Romans chapter 6, verse 4 says this: "We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Yes, you have forgiveness from sin. Yes, God has delivered you from the power of death and the devil, but he has saved you for an adventure. An adventure with the Lord. And God is faithful along that adventure. He gives you what you need. He gives you his promises. I will never leave you nor forsake you. Some of you have already done a lot of travels. And there might be more travels that you have. Some of you may be traveling in the future. Some of you might be going on a mission trip someday. And the Lord will be there with you wherever he takes you. Joshua 1:9, my confirmation verse, says, "Have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged, for the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go." Sometimes a move can mean a move from a house to a different location. Sometimes it can mean going from your house to a retirement home. Sometimes it can be a move that can be a little scary. But the Lord is still with you. He's faithful. And he knows what he's doing. So maybe you are at a retirement home. But there are people that God has there for you to meet. And to be encouraged by them, and that you can encourage them. You know where God has placed you right now, and maybe you're in a difficult spot. Maybe you're struggling, but know this, that the Lord is going to be there with you and for you. Now, some of you are saying, you know, I don't really have much of an adventure right now. My life is pretty routine. I take care of the kids. I make sure that they don't hurt themselves, that they're fed. But I don't really have much of an adventure. Some of you, due to health concerns or certain other limitations, maybe don't have a lot of grand adventures. But that doesn't mean that life can't be an adventure with the Lord. Just talk to a man by the name of Brother Lawrence. Chances are, maybe you haven't heard of Brother Lawrence. Some of you might have. Brother Lawrence worked at a monastery for the monks. And Brother Lawrence was a dishwasher. Any of you, well, I know you've all done dishes, so that's a silly question. But tell me, can dishes get kind of monotonous sometimes? Not pleasant? Wouldn't there be other things you'd rather do than dishes? Yeah. Well, Brother Lawrence, I think at times would have rather done other things besides dishes. And yet Brother Lawrence took this as an opportunity to spend time with the Lord in prayer. And so Brother Lawrence, for hours, would spend time with the Lord in prayer. And perhaps he was praying for the monks. Perhaps he was praying for other people in the world. And he took this mundane, boring opportunity to spend time with his Lord. And maybe you have those mundane, boring things that happen in your life. Maybe it's another trip to the doctor's office. Maybe it's another trip to the grocery store. But those are opportunities for an adventure. Well, how? Well, maybe in the car you can turn on an audiobook of the scriptures and be listening to the scriptures. And maybe as you get to the grocery store, you can have a little prayer before you go into Roth's or Walmart or wherever you like to shop and say, "Lord, please guide this trip, and Lord, guide my interactions with the people at the store. Maybe there's someone that needs a smile. Maybe there's someone that needs a word of encouragement. Lord, I'm ready and willing to go. Lord, lead me to that person." And just watch. I warn you, when you ask something from the Lord, he will answer your prayer. Then it becomes an adventure to see how the Lord will work through this mundane activity. God is also faithful in the midst of the tough parts of the journey. There are times when we go through some very, very difficult things in our life, and yet the Lord remains faithful. You want to ask about that, just talk to a woman named Julie. Now, I don't think any of you have met Julie because she was born in 1825, but Julie von Hausmann had quite a journey through life. Julie von Hausmann was the lady that wrote the words for your sermon hymn that we just sung. I'll tell you a little bit about Julie. Julie was a daughter of a teacher, and she had plans to marry a theology student. And this theology student was in Africa at the time. And she was so excited, and she was getting her plans ready to travel to Africa and marry this theology student and have this adventure with him. Well, she takes the trip to Africa, and she gets to Africa, and she finds out that her beloved had died of a tropical fever. So she returns back to her home country of Latvia. And there in Latvia, she spends 14 years as a governess, working with children. I can imagine there's a bit of routine when you're a governess. So she spends then 14 years working as a governess. During this time, her father becomes ill, and she spends time taking care of her father until he passes away. And then what happens is she moves with her sister. She and her sister move in together, and they and she lives in France. And so she moves from Latvia to France to go be with her sister. And who knows the adventures she had there. Then, from there, they move to St. Petersburg, Russia. And there in Russia, she spends a number of years working with the poor people in Russia, serving as a blessing for them. Now, Julia experienced insomnia at times, and during those times of insomnia, she would stay up and she would write poetry. And perhaps this hymn that we hear is one of those moments when she's up late at night, she can't sleep. Julia was taken to many different countries, different places, different experiences, incredible adventures and routines. Listen to the words again that she wrote, this prayer. Lord, take my hand and lead me upon life's way. Direct, protect, and feed me from day to day. Without your grace and favor, I go astray. So take my hand, O Savior, and lead the way. Lord, when the tempest rages, I need not fear, for you, the rock of ages, are always near. Close by your side abiding, I fear no foe, for when your hand is guiding, in peace I go. Lord, when the shadows lengthen and night has come, I know that you will strengthen my steps toward home, and nothing can impede me, O blessed friend. So take my hand and lead me unto the end. Wow. I think she realized the adventure that she has with her Lord Jesus. God is faithful even in the difficult times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. The Lord is faithful, my friends. And life with the Lord becomes an adventure. So as you wake up tomorrow morning, think about this. Tomorrow morning is another day for an adventure with your Lord. Who knows where he will take you in the next, even this afternoon, or next day or next week. But know this, that he goes with you, his promises are there for you, and he will guide you, and it will be to his praise and glory. So let the adventure begin. Amen. The peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard, guide, and keep your hearts and minds in the one true faith until life everlasting. Amen.